Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. We know you'll be encouraged and inspired by this message. For more content like this, you can subscribe here or head over to faithchurch.com. Let's jump in now for an on-time word from Pastor David.
We've got a motorhome on the stage today. How many of y'all have ever seen the movie RV? Raise your hand. Classic movie. The interesting thing about the RV is that I lived in one for a lot of years of my life. It wasn't like fun necessarily. It's just where I lived. And so the movie RV always just cranked my tractor because I thought, oh my gosh, this is like going home for Christmas, right? And so living in the RV, there's a lot of things that I know about recreational vehicles that other people don't know. And I'm going to talk more about that in a minute. It's actually what the survey is about. This week, God spoke to me and said, I want you to teach the people how to live independent from the world system. Let's all shout that together. I want to learn how to live independent from the world system. So I looked it up. I Googled it. I said, actually put it up here. I said, what does self-contained mean? Self-contained camper van is a vehicle that can function without outside resources, certified motorhome, including a toilet. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. A water container that holds gray water. Anybody know what that is? And then septic water. Anybody know what that is? This means you do not require toilet facilities when you park overnight somewhere. How many of y'all know that's good? Y'all are quiet today. Come on, somebody help me. So, funny story, the gray water is different than, and this has nothing to do with my sermon other than, it's funny, and some of you are going to judge me on this, but growing up, me and my little brother, we lived in there, and we were in between meetings, and my dad took a break, and we went to Branson, Missouri. Anybody ever been to Branson? And there was a show at Branson, and this is about, I don't know, in the 80s, early 80s, and they were at this show. Of all places, you wouldn't think that they would make fun of Christians, and they started going crazy at this show about Christians and tearing into Christians, and it really upset me and my little brother, so don't judge me on this. So we went out to the parking lot of the show, and they had RV parking, about 80 parking, and there's a little lever that you can pull on here, and it's not just the gray water, it's the septic water, and we pulled about 50 motorhomes, and the whole, come on, somebody, don't judge me. I'm just telling you my testimony. Come on, help me right now. Right? That's a true story. But self-contained is really what I want to talk about. In the motorhome, we had a generator, which generated power, so you didn't need to plug in anywhere. We had water that you would fill up, about 300 gallons of water, and you could shower, and it had its own hot water. Everything you needed in the motorhome, in the RV, it was just self-contained. Now, I've been teaching you for a while now that we live in this world, but we're not of this world. That we are from a kingdom where our Father is the King, and that's why you can always be in a great mood knowing that you're not limited to any of the world system, that you are self-contained, come on, through your Heavenly Father who's gonna meet all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So some of the most fun times I've ever had were in the motorhome. I watched all our movies in the motorhome. We traveled in the motorhome. I did school in the motorhome. I played tricks on my brother in the motorhome. I drank Cool Whip out of a can in the motorhome. Anybody ever done that? You ought to do that. It'll bless you tonight. Just go home. Motorhome, self-contained. So I want to teach you what the Lord's been telling me about how to be self-contained and the difference between a dreamer and a schemer for just a minute. A dreamer is someone who was Joseph who had a dream. A schemer is somebody who is Laban who had a plan. The world system is very Labanistic in the sense that it's always trying to tell you, if you do this, you will be successful, and then they move the level. If you go get an education, if you go to college and rack up all the student loans, then you'll get a good job. And then now the new thing is, well, man, you wasted your money on education. You still have student loans. You should have just been a famous YouTuber and gotten rich. Come on, somebody help me. So the Laban system is always putting hope and false hope in a system of the world instead of the system of the Word. And what this does is this puts God out of the driving seat in your RV. Instead of allowing God to take the wheel and you receive by faith that over the next 5 years, you have to believe me on this, we'll say, why? The Bible says you'll know them by their fruit. So far, so good. I've been pastoring the church for 17 years and my predictions have been on. I'm telling you, the next 5 years are going to be full of grace and favor and supernatural opportunity, self-contained for God's people. Somebody ought to give God praise today. Now, it's going to be rough, boy, for some of the people in the world. But thank God you're just in the motorhome and you got on your generator. Come on, somebody. You're watching your movies going down the road. You got to go to the bathroom. You do it in your own place. You ain't got to go to a nasty truck stop. Can I get a hallelujah? You're just enjoying your life in the self-contained motorhome. Now, you're not self-contained, but you are anointed by the one who is self-contained. And so, therefore, you're not a schemer. You are a dreamer. But the dream that God has placed in your heart that he said, I know the plans I have for you, and they're for good and not for evil to bring you to an expected end. All you're going to have is good memories over the next 5 years. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah to this. Nothing takes God by surprise. You can't curse what God blessed. Hey! I'm preaching right now, I tell you. You know, what do? You start learning how, and I want to teach you this, learning how to live by faith. Learn how to live by faith. Now, when I was in, before we got the motorhome, we were in a travel trailer. Travel trailers, they're pulled by a car, okay? And they're not self-contained. So we'd have to pull over to the side of the road and then go back to the back and make a sandwich. Now we just drive in and you don't have to go, you don't have to change at all. In fact, this is against the law and shouldn't do it. But my daddy would drive the motorhome and he would switch out with my mom like this because he didn't want to lose any time. I know it's illegal, but I'm still here. Can I get a hallelujah? How many of y'all used to do all kinds of things before all the new laws? Anybody ever rode a bike without a helmet? Anybody ever drank out of a garden hose? Come on, help me right now. Anybody ever played on a playground without any protective services? Mm-hmm. So now, we're in the travel trailer, but we're learning to live by faith. And here's what I want you to do. You have to learn to live by faith. The just shall walk by faith. Yeah. So in the travel trailer, I didn't have a coat. So my dad said, well, we don't have money to buy you a coat. And it was wintertime in Ohio where my dad was preaching. So he said, son, you just got to start praying and asking your father for a coat. So he taught me this as a little boy. I'm like 7 years old. Living in the trailer, before God blesses us with a self-contained motorhome. Living in the trailer, and he said this. He said he started listening to these tapes 24 hours a day. I'm hearing it. This is why it's important to bring your kids to church. You'll be surprised how it will indoctrinate them and screw them up for the good the rest of your life. Some people say, oh, my kids don't pay attention. Yes, they do. They don't pay attention to you when you say turn the lights off, and that makes you mad, but they do hear the word, okay? And the word of God is powerful. And it's indestructible, and it's undeniable, and it'll change them into another person, and it'll equip them to be self-contained for the years and years ahead, should the Lord tarry. I'm preaching better than your amen today. So now, my dad says, you got to believe for a coat. So I said, God, Dad ran me through the prayer. God, you said whatever we ask the Father in the name of Jesus, you'll give it to me. God, I'm asking you for a coat. And then my dad says, what do you have to give away? You need to sow a seed. And I didn't hardly have anything. You know, it's hard to give stuff away when you hardly have anything. Yeah. And so I looked around, and I did have a couple of clothes, that one sweater that my cousin gave me. It's called hand-me-downs. You don't know anything about this, but your cousin got good clothes, way too big, but you fit in them anyway. Yeah. And so I gave away a couple things. Well, the last night of the meeting, I didn't say anything to anybody in the natural, because you don't have to make your request known to people. You got to make your request known to God. And your Father, who is in secret, will reward. Somebody ought to help me right now. Reward you openly. And I'm going somewhere with this right now. So, long story short, somebody comes up and says, hey, God spoke to me to buy your sons a coat. We're like, wow, we got it. Then, after that, I said, God, I thank you that I don't just want a coat. It's going to tell you how old I am. I said, God, I want the coat that I see other people in, that it's a blue coat, and it's got orange on the inside, and it's got fur. Anybody old enough to know I'm talking about that fur? Or her? And then, God, I also would love to have one of those coats, God, that you can zip the sleeves off. Like, it's a cool coat, but then all of a sudden, you're looking like Burt Reynolds in 2 minutes. Can you help me right now? And so, next thing I know, we come back to St. Louis. We don't have a church in St. Louis, but we're back in St. Louis, and a partner with my dad's ministry says, hey, I felt impressed of God to go shopping for your family and buy them Christmas. So she brings a trash can to our house from Saks Fifth Avenue that was a $100 trash can. Never seen anything like it in my life. It was a painted can. And when we open the can, the first thing I pull out, come on, somebody get ready for this right now, is this beautiful orange and yellow coat. And I said, oh, look at this. Come on, you can zip it off or you can slide it on. I'm here to tell you what that did for me is it made me self-contained where there would be a day in my life where I would need hundreds of millions of dollars to do what God called me to do. But I knew, I believe God for socks. I believe God for a coat. And the same God that provided for me then will provide for me now. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed out begging for bread. It's self-contained, powered by itself. God don't need nobody. He is everybody. We didn't have no organ either because we were broke as a joke. Couldn't even smoke. Let's go to Genesis 28. 5 years of grace and favor. Over the next 5 years, you will determine where you arrive at. Are you going to be all sad and I don't know, and I'm going to stay in strife with everybody and freak out? You're going to get caught up in the stupidity of the world. We're not supposed to be from this world. We're not supposed to love the things in the world. In fact, even yesterday I was in my closet and there was a shirt by Nirvana, which doesn't bug me at all normally. And I went in there and the Lord said, why are you wearing a Nirvana shirt? So I gave it to Rich in Florida. God will deal with him. I'm just saying, though, the more you get around Jesus, the less of the world you'll want, and the more of Jesus that you'll have, and the more you know that you can trust him in the midnight hour, that you can trust him to give you the power. Everything you need that pertains to life and godliness is in his word. Somebody ought to give God praise today. Don't trust in the world. Trust in the word. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. I think we need a campfire around up in here tonight. It's cold. Thank you. Genesis 28, verse 1. Then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him. Isaac called Jacob and blessed him. That word blessed means empowered to prosper. We sing a song around here now. May his favor be upon you to 1,000 generations, right? That's the blessing prayer that comes from the blessing that God promised Abraham. And he said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. And then Abraham, out of Abraham came Isaac. Out of Isaac came Jacob. And out of Jacob came Jesus. So listen here. Then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. It's kind of funny. If you go to the next verse. Actually, the reason why he said that, if you study that out, is he was actually not getting along with his mom right then. So he's like, I don't want you marrying a woman like her. Honestly, I promise you. I promise you. It cracked me up. Yesterday I was studying out. I'm like, oh, that makes sense. He's like, don't marry anybody around here. Okay. He says, arise and go way away from here. Okay. Get you a woman in Padan to the house of Bethel, your mother's father, and take yourself a wife there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. Notice that the blessing from a father, not only, listen to me closely, this is revelation right now. You can get information, but you can't steal revelation. Revelation is the difference maker. I know things about motorhomes you don't know about in motorhomes because I spent all my life in motorhomes. And I'm telling you, there's things about the word that you need to get a hold of right here. And here's one of them. Direction and blessing came. Blessing, he blessed his son Isaac, blessed Jacob, but then also he gave him direction. He said, go here. You need a spiritual father in your life. And last weekend, we preached a message from Florida to here where I was talking about some stuff that I normally wouldn't ever talk about. But God said, hey, I'm correcting things in my house because without holiness, no one would see the Lord. So direction comes, and when direction comes, you're at the right place at the right time, and it changes everything. Now, verse 3 says, may God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be an assembly of people. In other words, you're going to grow like crazy. And give the blessing of Abraham, shout that with me, the blessing of Abraham. Shout at all campuses. What is that? The blessing of Abraham. To you and to your descendants with you, that you might inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham. Now, check this out. when my daddy was teaching me this stuff as a little boy in the motorhome, how to be free from the world system, how to sow where you grow, we didn't have socks. It was cold. We prayed for socks. See, God, give us socks. My dad said, what do you have to sow? Well, we went and found some junk and gave it away. And then somebody gave us some junky clothes. True story. Then my dad said, well, you sow junk, so you got junk. He's directing me. He said, you got to go in there, son, and get something that you like. So I went in and got some things that I love and gave it away and said, God, I thank you, Lord, that we don't have any money. Now, to back this up, we're not in a motorhome because we're rich. We don't have a house, y'all. Like when y'all are running around your house in your backyard and playing, I was running around pulling septic tanks at the RV. Come on, somebody, help me right now. And so we lived beside little churches in the motorhome, and we were grateful that we had this place because most of the time the churches that were so poor, they would put us like in the church basement. How many of y'all don't? That's a scary place to be at nighttime. So my dad was teaching me how to believe God. So we go to this town in Alabama, and I never heard of this in my life. We had never told anybody that we needed socks. Now I don't even wear them. Come on, somebody help me. But then we needed it. It was wintertime, most places that we went. And we go and they said, hey, Brother Crank. That's what they call you back in the churches my dad went to. Brother Crank, we do something here at our church to bless the evangelist the last night of the revival. I said, yes. He said, we call it a suck it to you party. My dad said, what's that? He said, well, it's just something our church would do. We just get hundreds and hundreds of socks. Just everybody goes and finds fun socks and different socks. And we have a sock it to you party. Well, Sunday night, we left with boxes and boxes of socks. I had socks I could have sold on eBay had it been back then. Somebody ought to help me right now. I'm here to tell you that God proved to me in the small measures of my life that my spiritual dad and my biological dad led me down the path that God is the only one who can meet your needs and give you a miracle story. You might not have a story like I got, but you can start one today. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah. You can be self-contained, free from this world. I was getting hot up in here. Inherit the land. Let's look at that one more time. Verse 4. And the blessings of Abraham to your descendants with you, that you will inherit the land. Now, Psalm 37, you ought to write that down. It says, the meek shall inherit the earth. Long story short, our city, some of you are watching there right now, if you'd have told me in that travel trailer when we were eating air bologna, I'm talking this is where you believe God for food and it didn't come in and my dad would make me pray over food that we did not have. God, we bless this food that we're about to eat right now. We bless this bologna and we would start eating bologna by faith, fake bologna. And in my mind, I was a big thinker. I thought, if we're faking, let's eat steak. Come on, somebody help me right now. But my dad had a somewhat of a poverty mentality. But you got to change the way you think to change the way you live. Now, when he said, God blesses you, looks at that verse one more time, verse 4, the blessing of Abraham to give you descendants that you may inherit the land. If you would have told me then in the motorhome, at home school, we didn't have two nickels to rub together, that we would inherit Earth City, a $21 million campus, that we would sit here and at this campus, $37 million campus, and all the kids, it goes on and on and on. If you'd have told me then at home school, which by the way, my parents were not that smart, so they were in charge of my education, hence the reason I kind of skip a lot of big words. Somebody ought to help me. Because it's not based on my education, it's based on the wisdom of Almighty God and the blessing of the Lord. Come on, somebody, maketh rich and adds no sorrow with it. I give you 10 seconds to praise him, y'all. Somebody ought to get excited right now. I'm talking about a blessing that comes from God that'll change you into another person. Y'all worry. I wonder what's going to happen. You don't know the word. Genesis 29, verse 15. Then Laban said to Jacob, it's the Laban system, it's his crooked uncle, because you are my relative, you should serve me for nothing? No, he said, tell me what your wages should be. I love that because that means if the blessing is on your life, you ought to be able to state your salary. I'm going to say it again because I don't think you got that. I said, if the blessing is on your life, then the world system says, I want you to work for me. Just tell me what your wages should be. State your salary. In other words, you're creating from a place of victory, not fighting for victory. You ought to write this down. Opportunity shies away from need. You wouldn't want to go out on a date with me, would you? No. Right? Even Jim Carrey said, or wasn't it him who said, so you're saying there's a chance, whoever that was. So you need to have a positive mental attitude. Verse 16 says, now Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. And it says that Leah's eyes were delicate. One translation said she was tangle-eyed. True story. I'm not sure what's going on, but I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But Rachel was beautiful. How many of y'all know you? God just tells it the way it is. Leah was uglier, and Rachel was beautiful. I know it's not politically correct. I'm just reading here from appearances. Now, Jacob loved Rachel, so he said, I will serve 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter. And then Laban said, it is better that I give her to you than I should give her to another man, so stay with me. So Jacob served him 7 years, and it seemed but a few days because he loved her so much. That's romantic. Oh, yes. Then Jacob said to Laban, he said, hey, give me my wife. I fulfilled my days. And Laban gathered together all the place of the feast. And now it came to pass that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought into Jacob, and Jacob went into her. So in other words, he had had a party, and apparently there was the water you turned into wine. It didn't open the eyes of the blind. And he woke up with Leah, and he thought he was supposed to be waking up with Rachel. How many of y'all hate it when this happens? Come on. Right. Ah, what in the world happened? What happened? It's the Laban system. He comes to Laban and says, what did you do? He said, oh, I thought you knew. You got to take the oldest one first according to this law, and then you serve another 7 years, and then you get what you want. Notice the world is always trying to cheat you out of getting your best life and say, someday when you get an education, someday when this is right, someday when the stars align, someday when you meet the right person. No, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You are self-contained. Somebody ought to go with me on this right now. And even though the Labanistic system, I made up that word. I made it up and almost messed it up. The Labanistic system is here to rip you off. And the system of the blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is here to lift you off into another world. Man, I'm preaching good today, I tell you. Oh, yeah. I wish I had more time. I'm running out of time. You guys are listening slow. Verse 25, for the sake of time. And Laban said, I'm sorry, man. I had to do this, the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill your week with her. Give me another 7 years, and then I will bless you. Part of the reason why, listen to me here, that he wanted to trick him, why Laban wanted, is because he said, while you've been with me, all of my herds have increased. Everything I touched was blessed. Same story that we hear about Joseph. Joseph is sold into Potiphar's house. He's put in prison. He's lied on. Everything possible that could go wrong went wrong in his life. And at the end of the trail, he was self-contained. And not only did he have enough agua for himself and food for himself in his motorhome, he fed the entire nation, and his brothers went and bowed down before him. It took some time. At the end of 5 years, somebody ought to help me right now. Seed, time, and harvest. You're not going to start believing God for, like, I'm going to have $1 million. Yeah. Have you ever prayed for socks? Did you ever get a sock at tea party? Have you ever believed God for a coat? Come on, somebody help me right now. Of course you're never going to receive a harvest if you don't sow a seed. So that's what I'm teaching you right now. Now, verse 27, 25. It came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said to Laban, he said, send me away that I may go to my own place, my own country. Give me my wives and my children whom I've served for, and let me go. And Laban said to him, please stay. Everybody shout, please stay. This is verse 27, guys. And Laban said to him, please stay. Why don't you stay? If I have found favor, here's that word, we're going to have 5 years of grace and favor. He says, please, the world is begging now. Please stay. If I've found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake. You're going to think this is crazy, some of you. But people in your neighborhood, they actually ought to pay you to live there. Susie McKinley is sitting on the front row, and there was a huge tornado coming straight at their beautiful home on the golf course. And the tornado was coming right into their neighborhood. It was all over the news. And she went out on her front porch, and she said, I bind you in the name of Jesus, you tornado. You're tearing up all the way down Highway 44. You turn left. And it turned left and destroyed the town of DeSoto. Of course, people in our church are like, why'd you send it to DeSoto? She's like, I didn't send it anywhere. I just said it couldn't come here. It needed to go left. You should have got on your porch and kept sending it left and sending it left until it left. Somebody ought to shout amen. There is a blessing. Y'all ain't even ready for me. I can't wait till I can walk again. There's a blessing on your life that can't be shut up, shut down, stopped, squelched, set back, impeded in any form, shape, or fashion. You need to tell the devil, I'm blessed, I'm favored, and I got 5 years of supernatural victory and opportunity. I give you 10 seconds to praise it. 9, 8, 7, 6. Somebody needs to state their own salary. Somebody needs to say, I'm going to get that job. I'm going to pay off that house. I'm going to beat that cancer. I'm going to get that man. That's what you call preaching right there. I'm excited. I'm excited about the next 5 years. I'm so excited. I feel like getting in a motorhome. I still got one. I feel like driving it. We took it down to Louisiana. We've had it for, I don't even know, I think in 2008, I bought a motorhome for fun because I've always had a motorhome. My dad was always like, why do you want a motorhome? That's horrible memories for me. I'm like, for you, but where I grew up, it's where I got my butt beat. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's where I did my best game plan. Played a lot of Sorry. Remember Sorry? Played Monopoly. That game going on for 12 years. That motorhome recently, we just went down to Louisiana because they had no electricity and they had no water. But we had a diesel pusher that pushed down there and took care of all those people at our sister church down there because it was completely self-contained. In other words, I'm here to tell you that there are going to be things come up in the world over the next 5 years that you're going to need to be so blessed that you can say, hey, you know what? The government can't fix that, but we can. We'll just write a check for that. We'll just fix that. And then storms. Y'all ain't getting me. I got to go slower on the storm thing because you got to know this. What gave Susie the power to do that? Jesus did. Jesus stood at the helm of the boat and he said, peace be still. And it said, waves of hurricane proportions died down. Since I have moved to Florida in West Palm, they have not had a hurricane touch land since I got there. That's why they should pay me to be there. Some people say, you really believe that? Of course I do. I can't believe you don't. Because we are blessed. We are anointed. Put up verse 27 again. Then Laban said, please stay. Because when you live on our street, bad stuff doesn't happen. Please stay. When you're working here, theft goes down. Please stay. We have experienced, we know from experience that there's a difference when faith people are there. Please stay. Now, verse 28, I got to quit after this. Then he said, name me your wages and I will give it. How many of y'all like this? I like this for everybody, but the people that work for me. Again, we're not looking to a job. That is not the source. He is your source. the job, hopefully multiple streams of income. These are streams of income that are flowing into you because the blessing of God is on your life. How many of y'all would like that to be in your life? Then he said, name your wages and I will give it. You're getting ready to negotiate some great things over the next 5 years, but you need to do it through wisdom. Now, I'm out of time, but if you were to read on down verse 32 and keep on going, you would see that God gives Jacob an idea. I want you to write this down. One idea from God can change everything. One idea from God can change everything. You can have an idea for a dog comb, make a whole lot of money. You can have an idea for squeezable toothpaste and make a whole lot of money. You can have an idea to invent toilet paper and how many of y'all, that's a great idea, make a lot of money. You have an idea to have hand sanitizer. How many of y'all know that's a great idea? The Holy Ghost will put you at the right place at the right time. And I want you over the next 5 years to be in a place like Jacob was to say, I'm going to be blessed by Isaac, my father, and I'm going to get direction. And then he showed up in a system that was rigged against him, and they lied in the system, and it was totally a sham. But even at that, he came out on top, and then they end up begging him to stay. So he says, hey, here's what I'm going to do. You don't have to pay me more money. I got an idea. How about you allow me to go take all the spotted cows, because you don't have many spotted cows and lambs, and I'll take those. And all the cows and so on that are born over the next years, the solid ones belong to you. And obviously, Laban, almost everything is solid, so you're getting a better end of the deal. And I'll take the spotted stuff. He's like, oh, I love it. Because he knew this is just, you can't change genetic code. Oh, yes, you can. So now, here, this anointed man who is blessed of God, Jacob finds himself at the watering trough every day, and he would get the cows when they were in heat, and they would take off branches, and the cows would see spots on each other while they were mating, and God genetically changed the actual genetic makeup of the cows, and they started producing so many spotted cows that it was outnumbering him 2 to 1. Bam, 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 bam. And if you read the rest of the story, it says, at the end of the trail, he was extremely rich, extremely blessed. And his flock, let's just go to verse 42. But when the flocks were feeble, he did not put them in. So the feebler were Laban's, and the stronger were Jacob's. Verse 43, then the man became exceedingly prosperous and had large flocks. Exceedingly prosperous. I want you to shout that with me. Like you had breakfast. Come on now. What? He wasn't just a little rich. Now, as I wrap this up, so many people, religious people, don't like talking about money, but they get up and work for it every day. They're always griping about it. All about money, money. We don't worry about money. Money is just a means to an end. Money is just technically paper, okay? Toilet paper or paper with money. Okay, so the blessing from the blessor, though, let's put that up one more time, made him exceedingly blessed. I'm talking about over the next 5 years, I want you to just write down Genesis 30, 43, and you need to just say, hey, if the blessing came on Jacob, that Abrahamic blessing, then I believe that's coming on me. Because I am Abraham's seed. Galatians 3, verse 29, it says, if ye be Abraham's seed, if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. So you are, because of Jesus, you have every right to say, I get what he gets. He's healed, I'm healed. He's happy, I'm happy. I don't know the whole world's going. I don't know what's going on. You got the coronavirus and this virus. The whole world is upset and they're freaked out because there is no peace outside of God. Okay? There is joy, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost when you're self-contained. We went through the oil embargo. Check this out, I'll quit. We had a motorhome when gas They said we were running out of gas. Remember that back in the 80s when they said that gas was going away? Like, we're actually out of gas. Anybody old enough remember this here? Like, we're out of oil. My dad said they're lying. There's enough oil under the ground to take care of us forever and ever. And I thought, I don't know. My dad's not that smart. I think we're out of gas. Well, here I'm 51 years old. We still ain't out of gas. Somebody was lying, right? So here my dad would say, teach us. The blessing of God's on our life. Let bread go to $10 a loaf, and we'll say, give me two loaves. He said, let gas go to, back then, $5 a gallon. By the way, it did at one point. We'll say, fill it up. Because we're not in this world system. We are from another system where our Father, and I've told it to you, you should know it by now, and I'm going to keep saying it, though, because over 5 years, you got to realize that you are, if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. You're a king's kid. So why are you so happy? Can't tell you. Make you mad. Why are you so glad? Self-contained. I got my own toilet. Got my own water. Got my own electricity. Got my own TV. Got my own steering wheel. Got my own engine. And also there's safety, by the way. Stand up with me. That'll encourage me to shut up. There's safety in this. When we used to live in the travel trailer, we'd have to pull over on the side of the road and spend the night because we were going from one church to another church. And it was dangerous, bad neighborhoods. We had to get out, and it was scary. There's safety because in the motorhome, we never had to get outside. We just pull over. And we're in a truck stop or something, and you just all night hear glub, 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 glub. But it's the way I grew up. But there's safety in that. The safest place you can be is in the center of God's will. And I want to encourage you to get a hold of this and understand over the next 5 years. And in that brochure that we gave you, and you can get one on the way out if you don't have it today at all campuses. In this brochure, I feel the Holy Ghost, by the way, all over me. There's this spot right here where it said, today, on the first day of September of 2020, God spoke to me on the beach and said, I'm going to talk to you about the last 5 minutes of your walk, about the next 5 years. The next 5 years will be full of grace and favor for wise people, people who are full of faith, people who have been trained properly. Take your church and teach them the significance of five. I'm doing exactly what he told me to do to you. And over the next 5 years, they will experience the kingdom of heaven on earth while the foolish experience hell on earth. Teach the wise people. Everybody shout, that's me. People who are full of faith, people who have been trained properly, that they have the jump already. They've already been in position to win big over the next 5 years. I will recompense my people. I will bless my people. Make much of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Not all upset. But the ones who are sleeping, prayerless, disobedient, full of the world, not the word, they will be sleeping and have mental anguish, no balance, torture of soul. There will be a huge difference between the foolish and the wise, the obedient and the disobedient. And then there's more to the prophecy. But get that. That's word for word what the Lord spoke to me to speak to you. Now, what I want you to start thinking about is over the next, you know, few days, coming up in 2 weeks from now, we have our Jesus offering, because some of y'all know Christmas is still about Christ. It's still about Jesus. Come on, say amen to that right now. Jesus is the reason for the season. So one time a year, like my dad would say, well, if you're going to believe God for socks, you got to sow a seed. If you're going to believe God for a coat, you got to sow a seed. No seed, no harvest. And that grew and grew until when I was believing God for my first car. At 16 years old, at 15 actually, I sowed my first $1,000 in an offering, kind of like we're getting ready to do in 2 weeks. And God supernaturally gave me, debt-free, a brand new 1985 Trans Am that cost $15,500 from Don Dar Pontiac. It was just a miracle. And I've been living by faith like that ever since. You start out slow, but you grow. So over the next couple of weeks, you need to be praying and say, God, I'm ready to be self-contained. And this year, I'm bringing my Jesus offering, and it's going to be a significance of five, whatever that ends up being that God speaks to you about. Many people, maybe for years, you've sold $1,000, but now you're saying, hey, I'm going for five. Some people have sowed $50,000, going for $55,000. That's what we did. I'm here to tell you right now that the seed that leaves your hand never ever leaves your life. And I just want you to be self-contained. And how do you do that? You go from the travel trailer to the motorhome, not needing any outside aid or support. Every head bowed and every eye closed here in Florida, all campuses. I want you to raise your hands and you say, Pastor David, I really felt tonight stretch my faith and get me excited about my future. Raise your hand right now. Put it down. I want you to pray this with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are the one who's going to bless me. I believe that you are the blessor, and I will never be afraid of the world system because I operate in the word system. My life is hidden God in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen. Let's sing
this. We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If it encouraged you, share it with a friend. You never know what the people around you are going through. We're so grateful you joined us today. And we'll be back next week for more resources or to give. Please go to faithchurch.com.